If I Did It stands as one of the most contentious publications in American true crime history. Once a beloved football legend, O.J. Simpson's dramatic fall from grace captured the nation when he became the prime suspect in the 1994 murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. The book presents Simpson's version of events while maintaining his technical innocence through its hypothetical framing. After legal battles, the Goldman family won rights to the manuscript, publishing it with the added subtitle Confessions of the Killer, with proceeds benefiting the victims' families. What emerges is a disturbing glimpse into the mind of a man many believe committed the crime of the century, a narrative filled with contradictions, justifications, and a shocking hypothetical confession that reads more like admission than fiction. O.J. Simpson was living the American dream, Heisman Trophy winner, NFL star, and familiar face in Hertz commercials, when he met 18-year-old Nicole Brown, a waitress at a Beverly Hills restaurant. Despite being married, their connection was immediate. Simpson moved her into a friend Robert Kardashian's home while finalizing his divorce. Their early years seemed idyllic. Nicole skillfully redesigned Simpson's Rockingham estate into their dream home. Though initially reluctant, Simpson agreed to marry her in 1985, hosting an intimate ceremony and lavish reception. They had two children, daughter Sydney that year and son Justin in 1988. Simpson claimed this family finally gave his life meaning. However, darker currents ran beneath the surface. While court records showed repeated domestic violence, Simpson maintained they had a storybook relationship with only occasional arguments. He acknowledged just one physical incident in 1989, resulting in a spousal abuse conviction, which he later claimed he should have contested more strongly. By 1992, the seemingly perfect marriage was crumbling. Nicole initiated their separation at Pepone's restaurant, moving to Gretna Green with their children while Simpson stayed at Rockingham. Though separated, he maintained regular contact, hoping for reconciliation. Their post-separation relationship became complicated, with Nicole seeking Simpson's dating advice about other men. When Simpson learned she was dating Keith Zlomcewicz from Mezzaluna and another man from Cabo San Lucas, he began dating model Paola Barbieri. Nicole's frequent calls about personal problems strained Simpson's new relationship. During divorce proceedings, Simpson claims Nicole admitted friends urged her to exaggerate his violent tendencies for a better settlement. Though their divorce finalized in October 1992, co-parenting kept them entangled in a complex relationship that would ultimately end in tragedy. What followed was a dizzying pattern of reconciliation attempts and rejections. Nicole allegedly began stalking Simpson, driving by his house late at night and ringing the doorbell if Paula's truck wasn't there. Their physical relationship continued intermittently, with Simpson claiming they slept together frequently despite his insistence they weren't getting back together. During a weekend in Cabo with the children, Nicole convinced Simpson to give their relationship another try, with the agreement they'd commit for a full year before she'd move back in. This arrangement quickly became complicated as Nicole pushed for faster progress while Simpson maintained boundaries and worried about her new friends, whom he considered shady characters. As the reconciliation attempt continued, Simpson found himself increasingly conflicted. Nicole's lease was ending, creating pressure for them to move in together sooner than agreed. Meanwhile, she spent more time with friends Simpson strongly disapproved of, people like Faye Resnick with her drug problems and others who seemed to live dangerously. Imagine being pulled back repeatedly into a relationship you know is toxic, yet feeling unable to break free completely. This emotional tug-of-war characterized their final months together. A volatile mixture of passion, resentment, and unresolved feelings that continued to escalate. As their relationship deteriorated, Nicole displayed concerning changes, extreme exhaustion, mood swings, and uncharacteristic outbursts. Simpson suspected drug use after witnessing her disoriented behavior at family events. Despite her pleas to return to Rockingham, Simpson maintained boundaries, leading Nicole to purchase a condo on Bundy Drive. Tensions escalated over household staff issues. Nicole demanded Simpson's housekeeper Michelle and houseguest Cato Kalin leave whenever she visited with the children. This controlling behavior peaked when Nicole physically assaulted Michelle, slapping her for not immediately leaving the kitchen. Friends expressed concerns about Nicole's apparent substance abuse and mental state, but she became defensive when Simpson attempted to address these issues. Despite the chaos, Nicole convinced Simpson to join her in Cabo San Lucas to work on their relationship. The relationship's final days reflected its instability. After Nicole cut the Cabo trip short, they shared what Simpson called a perfect weekend, prompting him to optimistically call Nicole's mother. However, when Simpson called from Puerto Rico the next day, Nicole had returned to her hostile demeanor. On June 12th, Nicole called Simpson to discuss seating arrangements for Sydney's dance recital. At the event, Simpson noticed Nicole's short black skirt, which he deemed inappropriate. He deliberately sat two seats away from Nicole, with their children between them. After the recital, Nicole's family invited Simpson to dinner, but he declined, telling Lou Brown, "I've got to stay away from your daughter." Simpson later referenced a tourist's video showing him laughing with his children to counter trial testimony that portrayed him as angry. Back at Rockingham, Simpson wrestled with concerns about Nicole's lifestyle, considering using custody threats as leverage. After speaking with houseguest Cato Kalin, he left a message for a Raiders cheerleader, declaring himself a totally free man. While preparing for his Chicago trip that evening, Simpson had McDonald's dinner. His thoughts fixated on Nicole's alleged interference with their children's custody. In what would prove ominous, he muttered, "That woman is going to be the death of me." In the book's most contentious section, Simpson presents a hypothetical account of the murders. Around 10:03 p.m., a man called Charlie arrived with disturbing stories about Nicole. Enraged, Simpson went to confront Nicole at her condo, carrying a knife and gloves. At Bundy, Simpson encountered Ron Goldman returning restaurant glasses. Nicole appeared, leading to an argument. Simpson claims he experienced a blackout, after which he found himself in Nicole's courtyard covered in blood, with both victims dead nearby. Simpson describes fleeing the scene, disposing of bloody clothes, and returning to his property before departing for Chicago. After learning of Nicole's death, he returned to Los Angeles, where detectives questioned him about his movements and a cut on his finger. The infamous Bronco chase and arrest followed, leading to one of America's most famous criminal trials. While maintaining technical innocence, Simpson's account reads like a veiled confession, describing his presence at the murder scene with a knife and memory blackout, leaving readers to form their own conclusions about that June night.